Welcome back to Talk and Shop, the e-commerce strategy podcast brought to you by Cyber, New Zealand's leading e-commerce experts and Shopify Plus partner. We're here to share our knowledge and insider tips on all things e-commerce with the help of some amazing industry guests. New episodes available every week so you can make the most of your business online. Stay tuned for this week's episode coming right up.
What's on this episode, Waldo?
This episode, we have got Chris Wong from New Zealand Post bringing all the stats from Q1 in and around e-commerce and shipping and deliveries and all the good stuff for you guys out there so that you can make better decisions going forward. And we'll pick his brain a little bit on. I've seen they've had a little bit of a rebrand and just get a bit of an update. Good to get these bigger partners on board. They've obviously had an absolutely tumultuous time over the last 18, 24 months-ish. So
He's got some data for us. And again, I keep going on about this. I mean, I think he's GM of marketing for NZ Post. So we're getting the right people. Like, we're getting the top of the top, the cream of the cream.
Here we go. But what have we got first? First, we have got this week's news. Awesome.
Gets me revved up. Who's going first?
Get us started. What have you got for us this week?
All right. So last week was entertainment news. This time I'm going to tell you a little bit of what happened the other week. So the Google co-founder Larry Page got New Zealand residency.
Look at that.
Right? Now, if you want to know how he got that, he comes through what's called the Investor Plus residency visa. Oh, yeah. And for those of you that have $7 million that you need to spend in our economy here in New Zealand over 3 years, that's how you get it. So we're going to see a lot more of these Silicon Valley, founders, CEOs coming to New Zealand. It's quite popular at the moment over there. They know that we are COVID-free. But I hope this means really cool things about maybe he can start more work being done here from New Zealand. I mean, you can do work from anywhere now these days. But
did you see Google open their offices in Auckland?
No.
Yeah, man.
I thought we already had one in the PwC Tower building.
Well, they've got a new office in Auckland. It looks amazing.
How come we haven't been invited?
Yeah, I've seen a few people who work there just taking photos of the office and that sort of thing. Looks like a cool environment. But great for them to have it on in the in the country here now. That's going to bring a lot of jobs. We need more people in the tech space.
Yep.
I'm all for people immigrating here if they're going to add value to the economy. But
I bet you didn't know this. What? Sixth richest person in the world. With a portfolio of $122 billion.
Yeah, that's
$7 million that he just dropped. He's like, here we go. There's a sale. That $7 million. He's like, okay, New Zealand, you can have it.
Awesome.
Here you go. But by the way, that's not the only person that we actually have here that's really well known. Peter Thiel from PayPal, co-founder. He also came in here and got his residency in 2017. He got his residency in 12 days.
Yeah. I wonder how much he dropped.
Well, yeah, but what we do know is he bought about 500 acres in Wanaka. For those of you listening overseas, it's kind of like the bottom of our country, and it's kind of like the
close to Queenstown.
Queenstown.
Most people know Queenstown.
It's very like beautiful.
The Europe of New Zealand.
Exactly. You can go skiing, but in the summer, there's all this other stuff that you can do. 500 acres around Wanaka.
That's crazy. Have you heard the conspiracy theories around that?
I have not heard any conspiracy theories.
So I watched this documentary of these guys went down there and they were hunting, and you can't get anywhere near to this property development, right? And they were talking to people because there's a conspiracy that's quite, there's a lot of substantiated evidence about this, that there are a lot of billionaires / multi-millionaires who are building these bunkers in Wanaka.
Oh.
They're buying these big properties and building end of the world bunkers, basically.
Oh, not just really nice wine cellars.
No. It's probably how they declare them.
Oh, right.
Quite an interesting, got to take it with a pinch of salt, but interesting doco. Not people down there, they don't want to talk about it. And it's like, why don't you want to talk about it? You're always like, when you don't want to talk about it, there's got to be something.
Because Peter pays good money to keep your silence. But anyway, look, we've got Google co-founder, now a resident of New Zealand. So welcome.
Awesome.
Welcome, Larry.
Awesome.
Kia ora.
Hey, do you remember Snap?
The app?
Like Snapchat?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously owned by Snap Inc. And they bought a company called Vertebrae.
Okay.
You heard of Vertebrae?
I think I have, but you're going to just.
So they're like, they do 3D modeling.
Oh, yeah, products. Yep.
Gotcha. So Snap are heavily investing in the AR, VR shopping model. And so they've gone ahead and they've bought this company called Vertebrae, a tech business that helps brands create 3D models of their products to view and interact with. They've done quite a big backing of it as well. They've invested $130 million.
Yum, 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 AR, VR
shopping.
It's huge.
It's coming,
I
mean, right?
There was all those stats. I think I said in one of the episodes the other week, it was like, if you do have AR, VR on your store, you have 2.5 times greater chance of converting that person because they're so engaged using that item.
Yeah, have you seen the glasses? I'll show it to you and maybe, I don't know if Emily can cut a little snippet of this onto the actual glasses. Got the cameras built in there.
Yeah.
How awesome is that? Can you see yourself wearing those?
So you can walk around and everything is just in your house?
Yeah. Or will it be shoppable? I assume it's going to be...
wherever you are.
Yeah.
You just chuck them on.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or when you're walking in a store, maybe scanning QR codes, that sort of thing, with your glasses.
Yeah.
Don't know. Be interesting to see how it plays out, but $130 million investment is massive. So... maybe it's Snapchat's like, hey, I'm back. I know it's still quite big overseas, not so much in our region, but that's pretty much my news.
Yeah, it's the least of my go-to apps, actually, Snapchat. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I never go on there.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Let's go. Cool, so getting back to the actual episode here, Leo, we are joined by Chris Wong, GM, Business and Marketing at New Zealand Post. Welcome, Chris. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for the invite, guys.
Hey, not a problem.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I've been a big fan of you guys and have attended a lot of your events. So it's felt pretty cool to be invited and have a yarn to you today.
And how many podcasts have you done?
Oh, myself?
Yeah.
I've done, this is probably my third one now.
Nice.
Pretty good. Have they played footsies with you under the table?
They did. It's how you break the ice.
It is.
Everyone relaxes.
Exactly. Now that we played footsies, we can get on with this podcast.
Yeah, and I think just for the listeners out there, if you could just maybe give them a little bit of an overview as to who you are, you know, maybe personal, business, just to give them a little bit of context.
Yeah, sure. So, so I'm Chris. Mm-hmm. I'm the GM of Business Marketing at New Zealand Post, and I've been there for about 3 years now.
Cool.
So still relatively new. I work with a bunch of like really awesome people that look after our domestic parcel products and services.
Yes.
So things like, you know, Career Post and Pace, but actually we've just rebranded, which I'll talk about in a second, which has been a big thing for the team. But also our marketing team that looks after our business customers. That's a sort of a three year journey and realizing that there are a real bunch of like awesome entrepreneurs and business people that are just trying to, you know, capture their share of the growth.
Right.
All the way up to like, you know, the multi retailers that are, you know, having their own sort of physical footprint around the country as well as sort of competing online as well. So.
Exactly.
The more we can sort of understand what they're trying to achieve and help out, then the better. So, yeah.
No, that's awesome, man. What a journey to be on. I can imagine it's been quite a couple of years. The last couple of years, obviously, when it comes to shipping and that sort of thing, there's been a bit of scrutiny on this industry. So let's get the elephant out of the room to start with.
Something happened?
The pandemic came in and everyone started blaming the shipping companies. Oh, like it's their fault.
Yeah.
It's... It's been and you guys will be exactly the same. It's been such a journey.
Wow.
So I was before coming in, I was like thinking back a year ago. Like I think it was August, so it was the second lockdown. I think it was Auckland going back down into, and you know, a few months before that, obviously we were experiencing things that we'd never ever expected to experience. Boy, oh boy, yeah. So there were things that we're learning on the fly, things that we're dealing with that we've never dealt with before, and some things we got really right and other things we just got completely wrong.
Yeah.
But the good part is that I think we've taken a lot of those learnings and have implemented into the way that we work today. So like last year's peak season or the Black Friday, Cyber Monday stuff, that was a real big deal for us to do a good job. And, I think we're super proud of the team. They've actually, you know, it was the biggest one we've ever had biggest holiday shopping season the country's ever seen. Pretty chuffed to finish the year and that all kind of go okay.
In that period, I remember a lot of merchants saying, oh, it's taking like 5 days or 6 days to get something out because of COVID and because it was the Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of period. Do you think this year there's just, you don't think there'll be delays? Do you think there will be delays? Do you think any company out there can handle what's going to happen for New Zealand and, of course, shipping out of New Zealand?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a crystal ball gazing question. Yeah. Because
it's what I do.
We
I ask those questions.
We have some views of like we think this coming year is going to be the biggest again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're all in this fortunate position that we're operating in a market which is growing double digits.
Yeah.
And what happened last year is just like accelerated massively.
Yeah.
So we're picking that. We have like an internal process. We're already planning for the peak season this coming year. Nice. So aside from the things that most people see, which is around saying, hey, these are dates that you should probably send by to make sure things get through on time.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount of investment that happens internally with like we bring on new planes, we bring on new trucks and vans and people, and the call center gets scaled up. Mm. And there's a whole bunch of things that we do to do our absolute best to maintain our service level across the peak period.
Yeah.
It is the busiest time that we ever have, and yeah. you deal with the new things that pop up as well. But I think we've got a pretty robust process, and that often involves working with a lot of our customers and often your customers as well, just about things like the more you can get like basic things, get the addressing right, turning on notifications so customers knows where it's going, choosing services that require less kind of interaction so you can kind of leave it somewhere safe and just kind of get out the door quickly. Like the more we can kind of get those things lined up across more of our customers, then better results overall.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people out there who just sort of, you know, have been running e-commerce businesses and things were hunky-dory, you know, they don't quite realize that if you build a two-lane motorway and it's built for 1,000 cars and all of a sudden you throw 5,000 more cars on that same motorway, you're going to have traffic jam, right? There's going to be issues there. So, and you guys form such a core part of the entire e-commerce sort of infrastructure. You know, we talk a lot about the inventory management and the actual platforms out there and all these other apps that add functionality, but at the end of the day, if you can't get your product to your customer, you're screwed. And that's where you guys are so critical. Just to come back to what I asked you that question before, I completely understood it last year and I was backing you guys to the days as well, because when I was talking to people and they have these frustrations, I would just lay out those analogies for them and then they sort of calm down. But look, it's good that you guys got that learning under the belt. And this year's going to be...
And you're already preparing for this year. We're doing same with our merchants, because we always say, be ready before anybody else is about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and all the other key dates.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to some amazing stats.
Yeah.
I know you had... Are we talking stats?
Go for it. Yeah. We'll like stats.
I don't know if you came prepared with some stats or you just know them off the top of your
head. Just hit me. I'll see what I can do.
I remember that last year, I think you guys published a really awesome book. I believe there's another one or ebook with the stats that you guys saw last year. So was it $25 billion spent online? Or the $25 billion?
So we do an annual review called the full download.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a bit of context. So it's it kind of started because parcels is the biggest part of our business now.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows that. Still probably think we're predominantly like a mail business, but the biggest part of our business is parcels, and what's driving growth is e-commerce, is online shopping. So we started, like, we jumped in to go, we need to understand more about this opportunity, and have been like looking at the numbers quite deeply, but we couldn't find much about New Zealand. We had heaps of like overseas reports.
Yeah, we always find the same
heaps of stuff over there, but never anything internally. So when we started like digging around and cutting some numbers, we're like, this actually is real useful information which will help our customers understand the market and hopefully capture their share of the growth. So long story short, we published this thing called The Full Download every year, which is like a real deep dive into all of the New Zealand kind of domestic e-commerce space. On top of that, we've introduced what's called the e-commerce spotlights, which when COVID was happening, like you guys will know, every week something was changing like record numbers and stuff going on. So having an annual review was a bit slow.
Yeah.
So we've introduced every quarter now like a bit of a stab into the market, so we can get a pretty good proxy of if, you know, things are going well or things are slowing down or whatever. So last year in 2020, we had $5.8 billion spent online. So that's sort of nudging on about close to 12% of all retail spend is online, which is really cool, because that's grown quite quickly over the last few years.
Yeah.
What's interesting though is if you look at other markets, Australia, US, China, for example, their penetration's up sort of around the 20-25%, like it's quite a bit higher, which shows that there's still heaps of headroom, I think, for us.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to grow and continue to grow is quite exciting.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool. We also found that, like last year in particular, was heaps of things changed and heaps of behaviour change has come off the back of it as well.
Mm.
So of all the dollars spent online, 71% of it is with a domestic retailer.
Mm.
So if you go to other markets, that's often not the case. You probably get like a much larger share of people buying from offshore providers.
Okay, interesting. So that's an interesting stat because I would have thought New Zealand buys a lot from overseas, and but it's good that we're supporting Kiwis.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
I mean, that really bedded in when COVID was kind of in full flight because, in all honesty, the international supply chain, as you guys would know, was a bit broken.
Yeah, like there's, for sure.
And there's probably still lingerings of that right now with just getting stocks actually quite hard.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. We saw a whole bunch of like new demographics join online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And the obvious ones, right? We saw those aged over 60 that were kind of underrepresented. There was a whole like a big cohort that shopped for the first time.
Yeah.
Because they had to, or because they felt more safe to do that.
Yeah.
But we've seen that continue on, so that demographic continues to spend. And
of course, that was my prediction as well. These people, they were hesitant because older demographic are hesitant of learning technology. They was like, it's too hard. And when you get forced into it and you actually figure it out, well, those people now are going to be thinking to themselves, well, I'm not going to go to the mall because I don't want to find parking. And I now know how to do this, so I'll just do it online. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. It was like 30 plus, was it 60, 65 up was 30% of the new people that had come on.
Yeah.
And I think there was 306,000 new people had come on in New Zealand to buy online.
That's
for
10%
time.
Of the country.
First just time they shopped online. And you still think that's a huge number that haven't had that had it.
Yeah.
That had shopped
the
first time. So that was real cool to see
a lot
kind of
new eyeballs on your brand. If you're not up to date with your branding,
yeah, for sure.
A lot of new people are looking at you.
Yeah. So I think for like some of the messaging that we've been given to businesses is like that in itself is interesting. That your customer base that you're probably dealing with before is like more diverse.
Mm.
You probably have customers that will have different needs and preferences and things that are kind of popping up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot have come to you already. So, and it's obviously easier and cheaper to retain customers.
Oh, you've got
to
nurture that now.
And nurture those guys as opposed to continue to acquire new customers, which, I'm not sure if you guys sort of keep track of like the Facebook ad spend announcements and those sort of things. The amount of 100%. Money spent online on digital marketing is just crazy.
It's nuts.
So it's gonna be harder and harder, I think, to capture people's attention. And it's gonna cost more and more to do that. So the more you can kind of nurture your existing base and kind of keep them happy and engaged, and I think the better.
Yeah, you gotta do that because at the end of the day, you're not gonna be able to reach all those people you used to in the past. You're not gonna be able to target them as narrowly. So now you gotta be able to collect data so that you can, you know, manually change your conversation that you're having with different target markets out there. So
yeah, completely.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes. So
the rebrands happened.
Did you
just mention before, so NZ Post owns Pace and Courier Post?
Yeah, so okay. So New Zealand Post around for 180 years.
Yeah.
So it's
as old as the country.
It is literally as old as the country, which in itself is pretty cool. And obviously during that time, it's probably gone through a bunch of changes. And but what we're finding, and I guess part of the attraction of sort of me joining and a bunch of my colleagues as well, is that the opportunity ahead is massive, but there's a couple of things we're facing into. That we had people that generally associated New Zealand Post with mail,
which envelopes,
is a declining space.
Sure.
And also there was a lot of confusion about who did stuff. So not only did we have multiple brands like Courier Post and Pace, which one out of two people wouldn't know that we're kind of one of the same same group. A lot of the other providers out there were people weren't clear. They're just like, oh, the courier turned up.
Yeah.
So we were finding that there were times that we were being associated with really bad experiences that did like nothing to do with us.
Mm.
But it's quite hard to unpick that when it wasn't we kind of not distinctive around kind of where we stood and what we stood for and all that sort of good stuff. So. Yep. The rebrand, I guess, is a chance for us to kind of signal to say there's a new sort of evolution of what New Zealand Post is about, and we need to be very clear and stand for what that looks like, and be very clear about what we can do and be held to account to that. So we want to make sure we're delivering the best service possible, and the vast majority of time we get it right. There are times we don't get it right, just with life.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure that we're associated correctly, that people know that's us.
That's good. And I must say, I'm not big on watching TV and sitting through ads and stuff, but through the Olympics, I was just always fixated on the TV. And so I've seen a lot of ads that have been running, and I've seen the New Zealand Post ad, and I think you guys did an amazing job.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, I've got an awesome colleague, Sarah, who heads our consumer marketing and brand function. She's an absolute legend. And,
wow. Well done, Sarah. Yeah.
Are you talking about the evening posts, the 6 to 9 o'clock?
No, I'm just talking about the entire NZ Post rebranding, because there's one with kids and then the courier and they're like, what are you doing?
Is there a dinosaur? Is there a dinosaur in there?
Yeah.
But Express Tonight's probably another example where that's actually a service that we're trying to engage with and encourage the business audience to go, that's about creating options for my customers. Yes. And it's about me providing a differentiated experience.
Yep.
Part of the drive, though, is for general consumers to go, that's important to me. Because there are some times when I don't need something really fast, and sometimes I need something now. We've got so much evidence that points to that.
Yep.
That's an area that we're quite passionate about, is to say that already in New Zealand, we're actually quite fortunate that the vast majority of our stuff gets to anywhere in the country in an overnight
fairly quickly,
services,
right?
which is pretty awesome. That's not like that in other countries. But we know there's a chance to provide even better experiences by getting things to customers who need things now in a timely way, especially when you have the looming threat of offshore providers like Amazon that are coming into the market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of knocking on our door, often in Aussie at the moment as well. So
100%. We've got a couple of key accounts that we work with at Zyber that about 12 to 18 months ago started doing this rapid dispatch, or thinking about it and actually putting it in place and getting 2-hour deliveries, etc. So it's really cool to see you guys actually, obviously, you hear these requests coming in as well, and it's about managing that. And so I think it's amazing. When we were talking about this earlier, and I'd love to get your perspective on it, just to digress a little bit, I was saying I see sometime in the future, I don't know how far, where there'll be 24-hour delivery available for things. Like if you need it urgently, you can get it within 2 hours at any time. What are your thoughts on that?
I think all the research indicates that's where it's heading.
Yeah.
So we're taking steps on that right now. And in all honesty, we could do that today.
Yeah.
The thing that we need to get right though is how it's a slick customer experience to make sure we can do it in a way which is in keeping with our customer's brand and the experience they want to do together, and in a way which is cost effective.
Yeah.
So the Express Tonight, just to give you an example, is somewhere in between our sort of core courier network, which is when we pick things up, bring it into the core sorting sites, they sort it out, and that goes there and gets sent down to different parts of the country and delivered.
Yeah.
We have another business, which was called Pace, which we call Express, that is literally point-to-point.
Mm.
I'll come and pick up a parcel from Leo, and I'll drive it to where it needs to go, but it's not the most, it's super fast, but probably not the most cost-effective way.
That was sort of like a 2-hour turnaround time, right?
We could, depending on, you can get things across Auckland in 90 minutes and stuff, so it's kind of, it's really popular if you've left your passport at home, for example, things like that. You just need something like real quick, because it's super urgent. Express Tonight's about us going, how do we sort of bring in items, but use data from our customers to actually route them? So we can be way more efficient with the number of drivers that we need, where they go, and how they deliver. But because we have the data, we can surface up things like ETAs, live tracking, a whole bunch of other experiences of that, which people kind of expect to have nowadays, particularly if you've asked for something to be delivered quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
So, it's kind of that sort of stuff where we're realizing it's so important to plug in and deeply understand our customers, work with awesome peeps like you, because everything's becoming way more joined up. It's not simply we just get a parcel now and just go read it and go off we go. Everything, the volumes that we're receiving, it's all automated. It's all scanned. We're getting data footprints before the parcel turns up, so we can do the routing. We want to provide all these really rich experiences for customers, so they know where it's at and can control it and all that sort of good stuff. And we want to do it at times when it's convenient. So to answer your question, evenings was the first space that we're actively promoting now. We're piloting with a bunch of our customers around weekend delivery, because as you guys will know, typically if you order something on a Friday, then the business owner will go, cool, I might sort of get it ready, and then the courier will come on a Monday, pick it up, and then maybe by Tuesday, Wednesday, you might get the item.
Yeah.
We want to enable order on Saturday, deliver on Saturday, order on Sunday, deliver on Sunday for a bunch of our businesses.
Yeah,
I think it's going to make quite a big difference.
It has to be. It has to be.
Yeah, I've always found that interesting how there's still that little bit of a stigma that, you know, doing things on the weekend is kind of, yeah, I can wait till Monday, you know, like she'll be right kind of attitude. And I think that's probably a little bit historic, and there's a bunch of different factors that come into that. But no, definitely I can see why you guys would have that, because I want my stuff delivered on Saturdays. Like, if I don't have to get it delivered here.
That's the thing. I just want to know. So, Chris, are you saying this Express Deny, it's not just Auckland? Is it just where you guys have a warehouse that you can express or send off those?
So, Express Deny currently operates in Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington, and Christchurch.
Okay.
So, we can get an item within that region or between those regions, same day between 6 and 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The only difference is if you're sending it between, for example, Auckland and Christchurch, we need to pick it up a bit earlier because there's some flights we have to get things onto and get it down to the...
Yeah.
Sure.
But within the main regions, that's good to go.
Cool. So, you are actually collecting it from the merchants' warehouse. Yes. It's not even... You don't have your own.
I'm getting told off. I got to get closer to the mic.
Yeah, I thought for some merchants, you might even have your own warehouse where everything's you're doing the dispatch for them.
Yep. So we do have that. We know that there's like a lot of our businesses have like different models and different stages of growth.
Yes.
And some will be considering 3PL options and warehousing options at the right time where it kind of makes sense to them. So that's obviously a key area we need to work into, but. If we can pick up from their warehouse like we would normally pick up their other items just at certain times in the day, then we can enable these sort of services. We just need to make sure they integrate with us and get the data and that sort of stuff.
Well, okay. I think you guys are prime position to make sure that you guys are ahead of the curve there, because you know we know what's happened in other countries, and Amazon came in and maybe the courier or the post players weren't at the level where they were needed to. And so, you know, Amazon was able to come in, not only knock in fulfillment centers, but also knock in the delivery. Mm. And so I guess if you guys can now set yourself up with that sort of fulfillment in place already and all of these fast dispatch, et cetera, when they do show up, it's not going to be that massive wow. And I think the chances of them stealing a lot of that market share is probably not going to be there or not be as great as what it would be in other parts of the world where that wasn't in place. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we take it like really seriously, the role that we play for enabling e-commerce in New Zealand. I think we're about sort of, our estimate's about 75% of every sort of B2C or online shopping parcel we're lucky to deliver for our customers.
Awesome.
So we take that like quite seriously.
Yeah.
So if we do a good job, then it helps them be successful and therefore us successful. And that's the idea. The more we can help grow and create that moat for sort of, you know, our domestic businesses and just help create options that are desirable to customers, then I think that's a good problem to solve together.
Yeah, no, I can't agree with you more. The faster you can get things out to people, the better. I've heard some rumors. Well, not rumors. I've heard that there's been floods in Europe and there's been floods in China, and people are worried because they think that a lot of the stuff's not going to be here this year, and we're going to have the same issues for Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard anything to the same? I've heard this just in the last sort of week or so, where people say there's been massive floods in the largest distribution port in China.
I think. Yeah,
and you've heard this.
Yeah, we hear a lot about the international supply chains. We've got another team that kind of like live and breathe that stuff.
Awesome.
So when if we go back to last year when COVID happened, for example, and literally a lot of the airlines that we used to buy capacity on to move things around the world, a lot of them were kind of like just flights that we'd catch to move around. They all stopped. Mm. And so then the team had to have some real hustle to find alternatives, like putting things on boats and ships and moving to commercial airlines and a whole bunch of things like that. So that's a big focus for part of the team. And we are hearing that through a lot of our customers, that there is still supply challenge that's popping up, particularly in certain categories and certain industries and verticals and stuff. And we saw that last year at the last Black Friday events. I think there was still a large amount of advertising, but I think the general feel was that the types of promotions were probably less aggressive than kind of what they were previously, and often linked to just how much stock they had and what they can kind of supply demand sort of dynamic sort of playing out there.
Yeah.
So that would be the one part that would go, that's the one to watch, and that might influence what the second half of this year is going to look like for sure.
Interesting. I was going to ask you something. In terms of Shopify. Obviously, we're big avid, you know, supporters of Shopify here. And so what is New Zealand Post doing, and sort of how are you working with Shopify merchants, or what are you doing for that ecosystem?
Yeah, sure. That's an area that we're really passionate about, and one that we are learning more about, and you know, genuinely trying to create some really solid connections and partnerships and relationships in there. So we plug into Julian.
I'm sure you guys
know.
We've done Shopify guy.
He's been awesome. We've been involved in a whole bunch of events.
You're a legend, Julian.
Webinars, and we're actually down at the New Zealand Gift Fair, I think, later on. Yes. So to tie up with those guys as well. And you know, you guys will know that Shopify is by far the most dominant and popular platform. So we can't ignore the fact that so many of our customers are choosing to use that platform to build their business.
Yeah.
Our vision is that our services are super, super easy to consume and make available in lots of e-commerce platforms.
Exactly.
But particularly Shopify.
Sure.
So, you know, to give an example, we've done our own little development about learning about how to get into the ecosystem. So we've got a New Zealand Post plugin, which is about validating addresses.
Cool.
So it sort of pops up and basically auto searches off our API to plug in.
We've used that.
So that's awesome if you do. But it's still a long way to go, right?
Yeah.
We have a vision of that sort of expanding into presenting things like parcel collect locations, managing the rural addresses, which I know is like that's definitely a topic.
That was going to be one of my questions for sure. Metro versus rural.
Mm. But otherwise, you know, we've got a bunch of tools that we kind of freely make available. Once we internally we call it eShip. We actually work closely with the Starship team to bring that to life, and it has a whole bunch of integrations. And the more that we can kind of go, that's one less step for you. Just the orders there, and it's there. Just print the label off. You kind of go, the better. So
we've had Hawk on the show and explained the Starship it and the eShip. So
So we feel lucky. That's quite a unique situation to kind of be in.
To use that technology for yourself. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the fact I think, you know, we freely offer it to all our customers, right? Which is I think quite a it's a pretty awesome tool.
Yep.
It's pretty feature rich. Mm-hmm. And we just go fill your boots.
Yeah.
And I know so a lot of companies who use that as their pick pack. Because of that integration that's with Shopify, it goes straight to eShip. Their team in the warehouse, the only piece of equipment that they interface with apart from the stuff that's in the warehouse is eShip. Yep. That's it. And they're just like, okay, this one, cool, label, print, go.
They're awesome bunch, and we work really closely with them. We also have a range of everything is underpinned by APIs.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more that we can work with folks like yourselves to make those APIs really easy to be surfaced up in customers' shopping carts, awesome.
I mean, the end result you look for is, you know, Karen can open up her soap bar store and she can just go into the app store and just say, yep, I want this. And it's all connected, Karen. And she makes a sale and the courier comes.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
So obviously sign up as well.
Yeah.
It's not free. In terms of, I don't know if you're very involved in some new product development, but I always ask this question to people.
I love it.
Can you tease us with anything that's coming or that you guys are working on that you're excited about?
Oh, so what we mentioned before about the express delivery space and weekend delivery, that's a big focus for
100%.
Us. So I think that there's a genuine need from our merchants to help them create options, and we know it's desirable for our customers. So that's absolutely there. We've rolled out our live GPS tracking and ETA to our Pace Express service, so that's available now.
Mm. And what is that? Well, just to give people a bit of context, if you're not using it at the moment, what advantages are they getting there?
So I think Uber. So if you
Uber fulfill,
if you've ordered something and you need it urgently, then on top of the notifications that we can enable for free for a bunch of our merchants, there'll be one saying, "Hey, you're next in queue, Leo," and we think it's going to arrive at 12:15. And if you want to track it, you can now see it on map.
Right.
So that's currently on our point to point service. We're going to roll that out to our express range, so all the express tonight stuff will be there as well, and that's particularly important at nighttime when you're kind of at home and you want to see that sort of stuff coming through. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Other areas that we're looking at is around making using our services easier through self service. So we've started the journey. We can actually sign up online and pay by credit card and start labeling and sending and sort of getting going. We've got plans of how we're going to extend that to make it even easier to integrate, but also make it more available for any business, any size. So there's a lot of cool stuff kind of happening in that space. And then what else is there that's kind of cool and stuff that's going on? I think the other part which is interesting is, and you guys will probably see it through the nature of customers that you're dealing with, is that the items that we're receiving are changing. So we're getting like heaps more perishable products and food and stuff in the network. We're getting lots of demand for like bigger things like furniture, and not really like a parcel, it's kind of a bigger thing. Lots of dangerous goods, but if you're sending like lots of electronics with lots of like lithium batteries all stacked up together, so you have to handle those a certain way. So I think in the future we're getting more into, rather than saying give us a parcel, I have no idea what's inside, and all I'm going to do is just follow this going from A to B. If we can understand what's inside, then we can identify, process and deliver differently to suit the item.
Great.
So if you were sending like a really high value item, like a super expensive laptop, for example, you could go, this is high value. We might add things like additional insurance onto it, set it so you can't do a authority to leave. So you have to have someone has to sign with it and can't be over it, like all that sort of stuff. So that's probably the other sort of roadmap areas going.
Yeah, that's cool.
There are certain categories that make sense to deliver it differently.
That's massive. We have a lot of clients selling food online that would want this to know that it's perishable, has to get to A, B, C or whatever, and it has to be, you know, kept cool. And then the high end tickets and furniture, like there's a lot of hassles around moving big furniture around this country, so it'd be great to see these things rolled out.
So we might not do some of the final movements because our network's designed to move parcels, but if we can make it all packaged up and easy, that's cool. On the food stuff as well, you know, the fact we support My Food Bag, do all the deliveries to My Food Bag, HelloFresh, like there's some of the big food box players that we're kind of working on now, and because we can identify it's perishable, we can help with prioritization if there's something that's going wrong to identify and get it out faster. We can set features like expiries, so when it's scanned, if it's gone past a certain time, we can go, oh, okay, what do you want to do, customer? And they can go, can you just get rid of it? Because actually it's going to be a really bad experience for customers to deliver, or bring it back and we can do something else or whatever.
Makes sense, absolutely.
So I think that's an example of things that we're like looking to
run as well. And as you speak there, like I just see all these different components that actually factor into shipping at the end of the day. Oh man, blows my mind. There's mention here that you may have some stats for us for early 2000 and 2021? 2021 Q1. Emily did mention that there's going to be some stats. Have you got anything for us there? Some stuff that stood out for you in the first quarter of this year?
Yeah. So Q1, so January to March, we saw that online shopping grew 27% compared to the same time last year. Wow. So the so what is basically the growth we saw during 2020 COVID year has continued.
So that was 25%, wasn't it?
It's 25.
So now it's 27.
So it's even higher, which is cool. What we've just done, the Q2 review, so that's the April, May, June period, and that's obviously comparing against the very, very first lockdown that was happening. So we're expecting the numbers to be a bit funny because we had such highs that we thought they're going to be like these big negatives and stuff. What actually happened was for Q2, we were 6% down on what the volumes were in that crazy, crazy period. Mm-hmm. So if you just stop and go, it's not actually that different to what it was at that time. Yeah. And some of the categories that actually did not as good as others last year have actually done really well. They've actually outperformed what they did during COVID. So health and beauty was a category that had higher spend than what it had during COVID.
Which is crazy, right? Because you think like a lot of more people are working from home, they're, you know, not going to so many face-to-face meetings, all that sort of stuff, and people still care about how they look, eh?
It was that category and the entertainment, books and stationery that were like really hit hard last year. Particularly with international, I think people were buying a lot of stuff, a lot of those products or that category internationally, and that just kind of just stopped. So it's kind of slowly sort of come back again, but health and beauty's kind of kicked off. So maybe on the Tuesdays and Thursdays that you do come into the office, it's important to.
Well, no, I think the stat that I read was because of all the Zoom, you know, virtuals. You know, it's just focusing right on your face.
And a lot of people have got HD cameras. Light shining on them and HD cameras.
HD cameras right here. I think even lipo, when they do fillers to the lips and all that, or Botox, that shot up. Like in the States, there's a huge increase.
And people were buying stuff to make the area behind them look better. You know, like there's just all sorts.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I remember like homeoffice or something.co.nz was available. I was like, do I buy this domain?
Set
up a Shopify store? And I'm far too busy. Talking about Shopify stores, don't you have one?
I do have one.
Tell us about that. Go on, plug it.
Oh, okay. So I have kicked off a little store which I call Jetcessory.
Mm-hmm. Jetcessory?
Jetcessory. So in my spare time, I love getting out on my jet ski with my family.
Nice.
And
Karapiro or in the ocean?
In the ocean. Oh, I actually we've done a couple of lakes and stuff. Lakes are actually real good fun. But it's awesome to do by yourself, great to do with your partner. It's awesome to have the kids out as well. So it's just been like a real cool family thing. And in talking with my some buddies, we're just like, oh, all these accessories are kind of like hard to get, and all the stuff you get locally, like they're okay, but you know, that's pretty cool. So I was like, let's have a crack. Not only is it something I'm passionate about, awesome learning experience, that actually it's smack bang in kind of what I do at work.
So
let's live and breathe what it's like to
the best way
to like stand up in a Shopify store and all the easy parts and hard parts that kind of go with that.
Yeah, and so, you're never going to know it in and out unless you actually try it. I myself as well.
But that's probably the biggest learning is before doing that, you could like teach yourself stuff and you kind of go intellectually, oh, yeah, kind of make sense. When you have a purpose about standing a business up and you need to figure out how to do liquid coding or something on this part, you're just like, I've got a reason because that's the outcome I want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to learn deeply about that and I'm going to apply it and it's going to kind of stick.
Great.
Just like a great way to learn the platform, you know, choosing from different payment gateways.
Yeah.
How to position shipping. I think that was probably one of the biggest learnings. Making sure you got a good supply of like sort of product photography and how to optimize the product descriptions. SEO has been like that's a nerve-wracking thing. We're just like, it's not showing up, why is it not showing up? And eventually it shows up. All the digital, like using the social platforms, some are really easy and others are really hard. Like the Facebook stuff's been like real hard for me.
I can't even
be approved for some things. I don't know what's going on there, but it's been an awesome learning, and hopefully the products that we've kind of bought in, there's been a bunch of people that have kind of got some value from it, and at the same time, it's been a good learning process.
Yeah, I had a look at the website, and the products, they look really cool. So I'm going to have a little bit more of a look later. Funny, a really good mate of mine who probably listens to this podcast too, he's based out of the Gold Coast, and he also started a jet ski accessory company, but he builds his own ones for like surfboard racks and sprays.
Jet Tech.
Mike Pinn. How's it, Mike? Little plug for you there.
he's got some cool stuff.
That's really nice. Hey, I don't have anything else, Leo. Do you have something?
No, I was probably going to say you wear many feathers in your cap at what you do, and I was sort of on a high level. Is there anything you want to say to merchants to, you know, get ready? What they should do from your perspective from NZ Post. Is there anything you want to
For
putting you on the spot? Getting ready for the big season or what you've seen working well?
So I think plan early. So I start thinking about it now, which I think is what you guys are sort of advocating for as well. That's definitely the case.
And people don't listen. They just don't. They'll wait till September and October.
So
do all the sort of hygiene stuff, making sure you've got a view of kind of like forecast of stock and, you know, your product margins and all that sort of stuff, like just good practice to kind of do. But I think be really clear about what's the, like, how you're going to stand out from a marketing perspective and where you're going to play. Because it's getting like increasingly noisy. Like there's lots of stuff that's kind of happening at that time, and being clear about who your target audience is and being efficient about that, I think is kind of key.
Yeah.
And think about your strategy about when you go as well. I think we're seeing lots more retailers that are going a bit early to kind of get some clear air before all the noisy stuff kind of kicks off.
Definitely.
And then I think, otherwise just try to capture as much data and as much insight from your customer base as possible, because, you know, they're the ones that you really want to sort of like keep nurturing and keep sort of bringing back, back to the journey again. So
nice. And if people are currently using a specific courier company and they're looking to change or they're not happy, what's the best way that they can engage with you guys?
Oh, look, you can call me.
Yeah, it's cool.
Call Chris.
We'll put his mobile number at the bottom.
No, we won't do that.
jump on our website and you can ask to speak to one of the team, and we'll line up about what's the best and easiest solution based on kind of what your needs are.
Great.
And I think the team have got lots of advice about like getting ready for the busy season as well. The obvious area is that the more you can think about making the delivery process as smooth and as seamless as possible, and that means like being really good with like addressing information and like just hygiene stuff about making sure you use the non-SIG stuff where that's appropriate and turning on notifications, then it just stops this, you know, customers having to call you and call us and all that sort of good stuff. So yeah, I think, that sort of stuff will be really good.
Awesome. Well, the message that I got is it's getting better. It's getting, the integration's getting deeper,
yes,
which just means it's going to be a smoother ride for everybody from buying it to getting it, which is awesome.
And NZ Post is back in Shopify. Yes. That's what I'm hearing here. That's what I'm hearing. So if you're not on Shopify yet, folks, you know what to do. But Chris,
yeah, very cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It seems a bit redundant to say that we're going to put the link down the bottom because it's New Zealand Post, but I think we still will. There'll be a link down the bottom if you want to click on it. Nice. If you're watching this, subscribe, turn on your notifications for any future updates, like it, leave a review, and that's nothing else from me there. So I guess on that note, thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
Thanks so much, guys.
And,
appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll catch you next time.